Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Of course, the Middle East-Iran situation in flux. Very, very hard to try and understand what is going on. President Donald Trump extending the ceasefire. Is that to genuinely allow the parties to make peace? Is that about placing more financial pressure on Iran because effectively the country is under siege? Is it really to allow a redeployment and more troops in the area? Very, very difficult to understand. At the same time, there seems to be some pressure on Israel to negotiate with some form of agreement with Lebanon, even though Hezbollah is the main player there. So it is an area that potentially is fraught with conflict, not only between the major parties, but between the allies as well. What does that relationship look like? Do the goals still align, or are there cracks showing? Joining us this morning, as he often does, is Gedalia Blum, his partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. He runs a popular account, X account, called Mossad IL. Gedalia, very, very good morning to you. I hope you are well. Can you give us your assessment of the current, if we had to take a snapshot this morning, of the relationship between Israel and the United States? How does it look?
I think it looks amazing. I mean, you're hearing politically that Israel might not have great relationships in the future politically. Next election, when Trump is out, the Democrats might take over the Senate. But overall, we're dealing with here is alignment that we've never seen before.
We certainly saw that at the beginning of this war and this operation. There was little doubt about that. Are the goals still aligned, considering that there's no doubt that Trump is under pressure in terms of the oil price and his own economy?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. I think, you know, Trump is later in his age. He's not looking for a 20-year political career. Those kind of considerations are not on the table. What he is looking for is a legacy. And I think that, you know, politically, when you're dealing with a 20-year, 30-year career ahead of you, you know, there's more nuance than good guys, bad guys. And I think at this point, it's Trump is looking at good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
And so this is why, I mean, it's very interesting also is that the peace talks, let's say, for instance, let's just give an example. The peace talks that occurred in the State Department that actually followed up yesterday between Israel, Lebanon, United States as a broker, omitted Hezbollah. Hezbollah was not at the peace talks. And everybody who has half a brain would understand that Israel is not at war with Lebanon. Israel is in battle in Lebanon against Hezbollah. And so the idea behind whether or not we have good relationships or not is this alignment against the bad guys, that even the pressure from the Trump administration on the Lebanese government to say, listen, you only have a future without Hezbollah. If you're not looking to confront this issue, then you're going to be culpable against the against Israeli retaliation. And so I really think it came down to the fact that Lebanon never really had the strength or the wherewithal to be able to confront Hezbollah. America stepped in to say, listen, we got your back politically, militarily. Israel's got your back militarily, strategically, everything. And so we're all going to work together. So the alignment is actually coming together, not just politically, but actually you're seeing the facts on the ground change. And this is a huge threat to the bad guys. And I think that's where the alignment really comes in.
What do you think lies behind this extension of the ceasefire?
I think that it's more of a strategic move. Many would say usually a ceasefire would look like two sides ceasing fire. But if you actually look at what's going on right now, you're talking about significant economic warfare. This is, I believe, the ceasefire is actually more aggressive than the bombings of IRGC bases, because the U.S. is essentially choking Iran at this time. So the longer the ceasefire lasts, the weaker the regime gets. Usually in the ceasefire in the Muslim world, as we see, or anywhere, any kind of conflict, is that the ceasefire is actually a time that you could kind of like lick your wounds and regroup and rearm. But they're not able to do that. So this becomes like a war of attrition. And I actually believe that the ceasefire is actually going to lead even further to the downfall of the regime.
During this time, what do we understand about the Iran's capability with regard to, let's say, funding Hezbollah? During this kind of blockade or siege, is Iran still in a position to do so? Because in a way, Hezbollah actually becomes more important because they're standing outside of the pressure of the regime.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I actually think that the Houthis actually proved that the Iranian proxies are not as close to Iran as many would have thought, or that the Iranians would have thought. Cold feet in getting involved in, after seeing what happened in Gaza, what's happening in southern Lebanon, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, or I sometimes call it the Israeli Demolition Forces, go in and completely make the price tag too high to engage in war with Israel. And we're seeing this with the Houthis. We're seeing this also with Hezbollah. That Hezbollah right now, by the way, is taking kind of a back step, even though they're under threat. I mean, that's another thing. But to go back to your question, I see it this way. There's no revenue coming in anymore. They're really working on they're really, you know, dipping into their savings account right now. Their number one priority is maintaining control over Iran. That means paying salaries to the IRGC. That's where the money is going first. The money going second or third or fourth, now I wonder, is it going to make sure that the people have water and food and bread, or is it going to Hezbollah? And I think that's going to be a question on whether or not Hezbollah is an asset that is going to stand up, unlike what the Houthis did. Are they going to take an active role? And if they do, then they're going to get paid before the people eat, because the regime right now is hyper focused on survival, and that's it.
I would imagine, though, that the regime's danger does come from within Iran, which is the uprising of the people. So should they not look after them, if they push them to a point where they feel they have nothing more to lose, I can't imagine that the regime would be able to survive. So I would imagine priority number one is paying IRGC. Number two is keeping people reasonably, at that critical point, but no further. And number three would be Hezbollah. Otherwise, if there's too much pressure from within the regime, surely they would not be able to survive that.
Right, but when it comes down to it, if the regime is looking to survive, they need to create listen, this is a very unique situation, because the Strait of Hormuz is the one point, is the one location that is their choking point. I mean, you don't usually see this with nations where there's one location that you could actually block off and cut off the complete lifeline. So I believe that the Iranian regime understands that the only way to actually survive this is if the Strait of Hormuz is opened up again. And the only way to do that is to create as much global chaos and economic hardship around the world that the nations around the world are now pressuring the United States, saying, listen, it's not worth it. You know, stop choking them. We can't eat. I mean, I'm hearing things from South Korea saying, you know, our prices are going, Australia, the prices are going through the roof. And we've only seen this in 6 weeks, less than that.
Period, yeah.
And so, you know, what happens 6 months down the line? So I think it's not about the threat of the people. I think the people, they already know, is a threat. That's why they keep the internet off. But when it comes to actually surviving, I think their only way to do it is this war of attrition. Is the West, is the world going to be able to to live through this disruption longer than the Iranian regime could survive bread lines and then bread riots when they can't feed their people anymore.
Do we know what's going on the ground? Obviously, with the internet cut off for the amount of time that it has been, nearly 2 months now, it is difficult. I would imagine that U.S. intelligence and Israeli intelligence would know, but we haven't really seen any of that being leaked.
I think right now what I know of what's going on in Iran is that the people of Iran really took to heart the Trump administration and Pahlavi saying, listen, don't come out of your house until we tell you. And they said this months ago. And they are scared to death. They don't have internet, so therefore they can't, you know, communicate, they can't organize. The IRGC are just executing, shooting people every single day. You know, you're hearing about these imprisoned people who are somehow, it's getting leaked who they are and what their offenses are, and that they're facing execution. This is the fear society that's going on, and they're more hermetically sealed, I think, right now than North Korea, and I don't see a way for them to open it unless it's opened for them, which is the Trump administration, Israel, and whoever it is else on the ground, starts to, you know, gives the green light to go out there. But right now, I don't think there's a strategy. I think right now the only strategy is from the United States is to, again, continue cutting off the lifeline, letting the Iranian regime burn through all of their savings, and then wait eventually for the bread riots. And once the bread riots, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I don't care if you're supportive of the regime or you're against the regime. At the end, if you're not able to feed your children, the government is not fulfilling their basic right as a leader. And people are going to go on the street. There's going to be a big mix. And some people are going to go out because they hate the regime. And some people are going to go out just because they need food. Excellent. But I don't see the regime able to survive this if Trump maintains pressure, if the world understands that this is a short-term, extremely difficult short-term challenge for long-term prosperity and freedom for not only the Iranian people, but the whole Middle East region. When the proxy network completely dissolves.
That is where we leave it. Very, very thought-provoking. Gedalia Blum, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Gedalia is a partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. He runs a popular X account called Mossad IL. If you don't follow it, go follow it.